Welcome back, friends. We're on the topic of freedom and conscience. And we're now going to turn to erroneous ideas. That the erroneous idea of our time is that man can determine what is good or evil. Veritatis Splendor, paragraph 35, continues. In the book of Genesis...
Before you go, as a little aside, I would like to point out that that is not the problem only of our time. That is the problem of man, right? Because that is exactly why Adam and Eve did what they did, right? So we're just getting to see the fruit now. The tree is bearing its final fruit.
That's right. And you are correct. It is the problem of man because John Paul goes straight to Genesis. So we're talking about this is it. In the book of Genesis, we read, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may eat freely of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die.'" With this imagery, Revelation teaches that the power to decide what is good and what is evil does not belong to man, but to God alone. The man is certainly free inasmuch as he can understand and accept God's commands, and he possesses an extremely far-reaching freedom, since he can't eat of every tree of the garden. But his freedom is not unlimited. It must halt before the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for it is called to accept the moral law given by God. In fact, human freedom finds its authentic and complete fulfillment precisely in the acceptance of that law. God, who alone is good, knows perfectly what is good for man, and by virtue of his very love, proposes this good to man in the commandments. God's law does not reduce, much less do away with human freedom. Rather, it protects and promotes that freedom. In contrast, however, some present-day cultural tendencies have been given rise to several currents of thought and ethics, which center upon an alleged conflict between freedom and law. And that we're back to Scotus's understanding, Kennedy's understanding. These doctrines would grant to individuals or social groups the right to determine what is good or evil. Human freedom would thus be able to create values and would enjoy a primacy over truth, to the point that truth itself would be considered a creation of freedom. Freedom would thus lay claim to a moral autonomy, which would actually amount to an absolute sovereignty. Christ counters this absolute right to human freedom. He reveals to us the true norm. Christ only does that what he sees the Father doing. He is the sovereign, not each individual conscience. Thus, we arrive at the pivot point, forming a conscience with Christ as the norm.
Yeah, I mean, we're what a crazy thing that man, you know, you go back to that very beginning, and we now, I do think in one sense, we are seeing the tree is in bloom right now, right? And in some instances, it still appears as though the fruit may be good. Right? That oh, man has done these great things, and oh, look at all that we're capable of doing. But we are about to taste the fruit.
Yes. Yes.
That's where we are right now. I mean, God preserve us from taking a bite of the fruit we've grown.
That's right.
Because I mean, when you, even just that thought of what you just said, that man, by his freedom, defines truth. What? I mean, to define truth? How does one define truth? But we're watching it. We're watching these young thugs who are going out, and they are, Greg and I were sort of joking about how the progressive left, it appears as though their definition of tolerance is to give you permission to agree with them.
That's right.
Right? Because they are so convinced of their own moral rectitude. They have been told over and over again that they are good that they are, that they're the best generation, that they're, that there's nothing that they can do that's wrong. They've been given a ribbon for everything that they've ever tried, whether it was successful or not. There's now a movement to abolish grades because, you know, and it's one of these things that I find that that is so clear, so clearly present to people with eyes to see, that there is a collective mentality on the left that wants to say, you know, we know that in Christianity or among people of faith, that there is a very wideness in God's mercy, right? There are all, God is God has so many paths to him. God, the number of paths that God has permitted to come to him are as many as the number of people that he has created. Because each one of us gets to walk that path on our own, right? We're all called to walk in Christ's footsteps, but the way that we're going to do that is all going to be slightly different. But this desire on the left for collective virtue and for collective vice is so demeaning of man's authentic freedom, right? Because you are no longer free. You must believe what the collective believes, because that is what freedom has defined. I mean, licentiousness has defined freedom to be, right? And I think that a lot of Christians are going to realize now that freedom has nothing to do with what the body is capable of doing, because freedom is a gift of the soul. And that's why, you know, Father Jacques Philippe's book is so profoundly beautiful, Interior Freedom, right? Because
that's
one of the things that Satan hates so much, is because he cannot trap the soul. I mean, once he gets the body, it's easier to get the soul, right? But when you think of these parallels within terms of truth, you know, they want the person who hits, you know, accidentally, you know, or for the protection of a nation, drops a bomb on a group of people and a civilian is inadvertently killed. They want to tar and feather that person with murder in the same way that they would tar and feather, well, not tar and feather, but the way that they would claim that an abortionist has killed a child, right? There's this equalizing of sinfulness, so that the person who commits something that is really truly egregious can point at the other person and say, well, look, at least I'm not like him. So, yeah, we're about to find out what this new joining together of the ill-formed mind and the ill-formed body is going to look like. And it's going to be very hard.
It's going to be very, very hard. It's going to be very hard. All right, my friends, we need to pick up with the next turn to Christ. He's the way out of this very difficult time that we find ourselves in. To the next time, Fides et Ratio.